in Allen Park, and for some of you, it was in Grand Junction. So good to see everybody again.
You too.
Let me open in prayer, and then I want to share something that the Lord gave me a long time ago, and I'm gonna, Janet, I'm gonna call on your memory of this a little bit too. So, all right, okay. So, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, we thank you for today, this opportunity. Lord, we always love to get together and talk about you. And I just pray that Holy Spirit would be in this conversation to the fullest extent. And I pray for revelation to come out of this for everybody that's participating in this call. And we ask this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I want to say, what it must have been 3 or 4 years ago, I woke up and it wasn't a dream. I woke up saying 26.112. And that was like really weird because it wasn't like a dream. And I woke up saying that. I kept saying 26.112. Now I knew it was significant, but I didn't know what it was. And for the longest time, Janet and I couldn't figure it out. I actually thought it was a computer IP address. So I type in 26.112 and I got a bunch of things, but none of it kind of clicked and none of it made sense. And then sometime later, and it might have been, was it maybe a year or two later?
Even 6 months ago.
Okay, it was not too long after that. Janet and I are at a friend's house, and I think we were talking about Genesis 26. And at the same time, Janet and I, the light bulb went on
You said, where is Isaac? Bible, I said Genesis 26.
Yeah. And so the light bulb went on at the same time for both of us that my prior understanding of those numbers, 26.112, was Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 and verse 12. And ever since that time, I haven't forgotten it. And if you, and I'm just going to read the first verse, and then the 12th verse, and then I'm going to explain like what the Lord was telling me at the time, and what is very clear today. So the first verse in Genesis 26 reads, "And there was a famine in the land, other than the former famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines." Now you go down to verse 12, and verse 12 reads, "Then Isaac sowed seed in that land and received in the same year 100 times as much as he had planted, and the Lord favored him with blessings." Now, when I heard 26.112, and fully understanding that it was verse 1 and verse 12, the message that the Lord was trying to convey to me was that, even in a famine, yeah, you can be fruitful when I bless you. And so I kind of never forgot about that. That was always kind of indelibly instilled in my spirit. And so then the Lord reminded me, 2 or 3 weeks ago, to go back to that understanding and kind of like unpack it further. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through Genesis 26, that chapter. It isn't all that long, but it has two or three very significant themes in there. And what's interesting is everybody is familiar with how the Lord spoke to Abraham and blessed Abraham. everybody is pretty familiar that the Lord did the same thing with Isaac, and he did the same thing with Jacob. So what's interesting is that the Lord spoke to those three people the same message because he really wanted them to get it. It wasn't just given once to Abraham who passed it down. It was given to those three individuals individually. So they got the same message from the Lord that they would be fruitful and multiply, and that they would be blessed, and they would be filled with God's favor. So let me begin in the chapter, and I'm just going to go through some things that the Lord highlighted to me because it's going to become very apparent for us and for the days ahead. So if you go back to verse 1, and there was a famine in the land other than the former famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, and the Lord appeared to him and said, "Don't go down to Egypt, live in the land which I will tell you. Dwell temporarily in this land, and I will be with you and will favor you with blessings. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." So it's virtually the same thing that the Lord told Abraham. Now he's telling Isaac. And he goes on to say, "And I will make your descendants to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your posterity all these kingdoms, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and by him bless themselves. For Abraham listened to and obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commands, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac stayed in Gerar. So Abraham listened and obeyed. Isaac listened and obeyed. And then it goes on to say, and the men of the place asked about his wife. Now we're shifting gears a little bit. And the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, "She's my sister." For he was afraid to say, "She is my wife," lest the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she is attractive and is beautiful to look upon. When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Isaac caressing Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, "See here, she is certainly your wife. How did you dare say to me, 'She's my sister'?" And Isaac said to him, "Because I thought, lest I die on account of her." And Abimelech said, "What is this that you have done to us? One of the men might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt and sin upon us." Now, it's interesting that a Philistine king understood this concept. Then Abimelech charged all his people, "He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Now, this is the piece in Genesis 26 that isn't really part of the message that I want to talk about, but there's an interesting thing going on. I think it's interesting that both Abraham and Isaac suffered from the same fear. They both feared that they were going to be killed because of their beautiful wives. They thought, and you know, the truth be known, they were scared to death, so they lied. And the pertinent point on this part of Genesis 26 is that, you know, we all have spiritual blind spots that we can't necessarily see. And certainly Abraham and Isaac, they had one, they had the same. So one thing that I have discovered, knowing that we all have blind spots. I like the verse that's found in Psalm 19, and it's verses 12 through 14. And this is where David is saying, "Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me." And so David knew that he had blind spots, so he prayed accordingly. So now we kind of go back to the economic part of Genesis 26, and we're going to start again in verse 12. Then Isaac sowed seed in the land and received in the same year 100 times as much as he had planted, and the Lord favored him with blessings. Now, when you kind of study this and drill into this a little deeper, it's not clear, but it's assumed that the famine was also in the land that where Isaac was, the land of Gerar. Now, that being the case, who in their right mind would plant seed in a famine condition? Now, remember, a famine in those days was probably due to like lack of rain, and they couldn't, they couldn't have the proper farming cycle to grow their crops. So the land was probably parched. There was probably no water, nothing was coming. Consequently, no crops, no food, a famine in the land. Yet Isaac planted. Now I'm also guessing that Isaac was instructed by the Lord to plant. So I'm thinking that he was told to plant, he planted, he was faithful, and as the word said, in the same year, he received 100 times from 100 times what he sowed. So I think it's a case of Isaac hearing the Lord, doing what did not seem normal and the natural. And the parallel for us is we may be asked to do some very unusual things, but it's, if it comes from the Lord, we need to be obedient and do it. And so it's like really incumbent upon us to be very comfortable in our conversations with the Lord, and to kind of pay attention to the Holy Spirit, when he's talking to us, when he's whispering to us about things, when he's suggesting things, when he's leading us in areas. When you sit down and read the word, stay sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, at that particular time. And so I think the point here is that Isaac correctly understood and he obeyed, and the Lord prospered him. And I think one thing that both Isaac and Abraham understood is that whatever they did and whatever the Lord asked them to do, even if it seemed ridiculous, the Lord was going to prosper them. And if you go back to, Abraham was prepared to sacrifice his only son because he probably knew that the Lord would restore him. So this level of understanding, obedience, and faithfulness is something I think that the Lord wants to really kind of key on. Now, I want you to consider something. And I was thinking about this, and so I'm not saying this is a necessarily a thus saith the Lord, but what I'm saying is this is the impression I got as the Lord had me study Genesis 26. We all know that Joseph, during his reign, provided for Egypt, and he got the dream. And he was shown the 7 fat years and the 7 lean years, and he understood what he had to do to essentially save the people from a very long and sustained famine. So he was obedient. He did that. So here's the thought I want you to consider. We know the story about Joseph, but what if Joseph learned this concept about being very fruitful and prosperous in very difficult times. And he learned that from his dad, Jacob, who learned it from his dad, Isaac. So what if this was a principle that the Lord showed him? Now, I'm going to show you how to be profitable in difficult times. So we kind of focus on the fact that the people were fed, but the piece that we less focus on is the kind of the financial side, the wealth transfer aspect side of what took place. Joseph, yes, was the food source, but Joseph in the process got paid for the food. And when the people ran out of money, he got livestock and land and everything else, and it all accrued to the Egyptian kingdom at that time. So if you continue to like read on, and you go on to verse 13 back in Genesis 26, it says that, and this is talking about, he's talking about Isaac now. And the man became great and gained more and more until he became very wealthy and distinguished. So the Bible underscores the fact that through his planting and his high yield, he was able to become great and gain more and more until he became very wealthy and distinguished. It's my sense that he applied the principle that was handed down to him, that he knew how to make good in difficult situations. And furthermore, I believe he was taught how to gain financially, because this verse 13 is pretty significant. And the man became great and gained more and more until he became very wealthy and distinguished. He owned flocks, herds, and a great supply of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Now, think about this for a moment. Flocks and herds can get bigger just through natural means of breeding over time. How do you get a great supply of servants? You don't get a great supply of servants the same way. You get a great supply of servants because somebody probably bartered their servants away so they could eat in a famine. So I think there's a big principle here that the Lord wants us to understand and exercise in the days ahead. Then we kind of leave that, and you know, then we go into another set of circumstances where Isaac is redigging his father's wells. Now, all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had closed and filled with earth. Now, think about this. The life source, you know, in the past, especially in those days, were water wells. If you didn't have water, you not only couldn't grow your crops, you couldn't water your flocks. You could do nothing. And so the enemy, the Philistines, when they took over the land, they plugged the wells. Well, you know, Isaac went back and knew where his father's wells were, and he redug those wells. We may be asked in the days ahead to redig some wells, and that'll look different for different people. But it's highly possible that the Lord is going to ask us to unearth some things that have been buried. And it's going to be important to do that. Now, when you read in Genesis how that took place, and before I get to that, I want to go back to Abimelech, the king, who said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we are." So Isaac went away from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water, which had been dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the names of which his father had called them. So not only did he redig those wells, but he renamed them the original names that they were originally named. And when you read through this, there's a series of names that were given to these wells. The first one was called Esek, Esek, which means contention. The second well that he redug was called Sitna, Sitnah, which means enmity. And then the third well that he dug was called Rehoboth, Rehoboth, which means room. So as he redug these wells, there was difficulty in the first well. There was less difficulty in the second well. And the third well that he redug, there was no contention at all. And, you know, Isaac stated that the Lord had made room for him. So as we may be called to redig some of the wells, some of the things that the Lord is asking us to reinstitute in the land, it will probably start out difficult, but then as we go through the process, it will become less contentious, and it should end up significantly more easy, and there may be even no contention at all. So we have to be prepared to kind of work through that, but I'm believing that the Lord, as he asks us to do this, it will become easier and easier, and there'll be breakthrough at the end. So even though Isaac was hugely blessed after he received that bumper crop, he still had to go dig the wells. So he dug the wells, and he had to actually apply some hard labor. And you know, there's some value in hard labor. In fact, if you go to Proverbs 14:23, Proverbs 14:23 in the Amplified reads, "In all labor there is profit, but the idle talk leads only to poverty." One of the verses that I regularly speak every morning is this verse, and I actually thank the Lord that in all labor, in everything that I labor in, I am going to receive a profit. I'm going to receive a profit in business, in associations, in contacts, in new opportunities. So I believe that everything that the Lord allows me or directs me to labor in, I am going to receive a profit. And so it was true. It was true for Isaac and his wells. It's true for us. And so we may have some more challenging days ahead, but if we, you know, hold to the fact that the Lord is with us, that he wants to bless us, I feel very strong about all the labor of our hands will be blessed in the days ahead. So then if you kind of go on reading and still reading in chapter 26, starting again on verse 24, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, I am with you and will favor you with blessings and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." And Isaac built an altar there and called the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and Isaac's servants were digging a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar with Ahuzah, one of his friends, and Phicol, his army's commander, and Isaac said to them, Why have you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you? They said, we saw that the Lord was certainly with you. So we said, let there be now an oath between us, even between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, inasmuch as we have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed or favored of the Lord. This is what the enemy said about Isaac. And there's another scripture that underscores this, and it's Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to have peace with him. So this was, I mean, the Philistines, the king of the Philistines recognized his wealth, his favor, his might, and that everything he did was all moving in the right direction. And so the enemy said, surely the Lord is with you. Surely you are favored by the Lord. I believe that the Lord wants us to understand this message so clearly that he is actually wanting us to receive the same blessing, the same words that he spoke over Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that we would be favored, that we would be blessed, that everything we touch will prosper. And so as we kind of sit still and pay attention to the weather report around us, and I mean that kind of figuratively, look at the economic conditions and the turmoil around us, it's easy to kind of think that things won't go in the right direction. It's kind of easy to let your mind drift and let the outside conditions speak louder to us than the word of God. And I feel so strongly about this word that the Lord wants us to get this ahead of time. And just like he wanted, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to get it ahead of time, he wants us to get it ahead of time. That if we are obedient and we do everything the Lord tells us to do, we already have a covenant with the Lord. We are his covenant people. And he wants to perform through us for his glory and his kingdom the exact same way he did through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I am reminded about the verse in Deuteronomy 8:28. And that's another verse that's one of my favorites. Deuteronomy 8, starting in verse 18, but you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. I can't tell you how important that verse is right now. The Lord wants to extend his covenant to us in a manner that was very similar to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wants all the people around us to take note and to say, you are now the blessed and favored of the Lord. He wants to bless us so much that our enemies, that the heathen, that the pagans, we're going to stop in their tracks. They're going to look what's happening over there. Now, I think our part is we have to believe in the goodness of the Lord. We have to believe that he will do it through us, and we have to believe that he wants to do it through us, and that his word never changes. So I'm convinced that anybody who is a Christ follower and gloms onto this and really owns this concept is going to see things they've never seen before. And it's we have to kind of get to the point where we dismiss our logic. And here's a guy who virtually like lives on logic most of the time. So I'm more of a, I'm more of a critical thinker. I have to constantly kind of take my thoughts captive and go, is this really what the Lord is saying? Is this, and so, but I'm also very convinced of the word of the Lord. And I'm super convinced of this message and where the Lord wants to take us. He needs us for such a time as this. He's not done with America. He's not done with a lot of countries in the world. And he needs us to prosper in the land so that we can bring people into the kingdom and we can expand the kingdom. He needs us. Just the same way that he needed his other servants. So does this make sense to everybody? Is this kind of looking at the days ahead and everything that's kind of like swirling around us, does it seem logical from the Lord's perspective that he would pick you for such a time as this, that you're walking around right now because he called you, he has a spot for you. You weren't born 100 years ago. You're not working the back 40. You're here now during this turmoil because he needs his kingdom expanded and he wants to do it with through favor and wealth, and he wants to do it through you. And
Amen.
we just, I think we have to just get that thought in our head, regardless of what the storm looks like on the outside. And the storm may be the perfect opportunity that the Lord wants to use us in, right? So the storm could be a good thing, could be a super good thing.
Amen. Amen.
So
I think that's spot on, Jim.
any does anybody have any is let me ask you this. Is there anybody on this call that you feel a little tap on the shoulder and it happens to be the bad guy and he's going, yeah, that works for some people, doesn't work for you?
Makes me shy.
I mean, it's totally okay to admit that because I've been down that road. And what I've kind of learned over time and kind of going through and hitting a lot of dead ends is I have kind of taught myself to better take every thought captive
Yeah.
and go, is that from the Lord? Is that what the word says? And I think I've shared this with some of you. When I get like overwhelmed with too many things to like solve, and like I'm a fixer, and if I see a problem, my knee-jerk reaction is to fix it, and then maybe ask the Lord for help after that. But boy, I'm going to get in there and fix it first. And it's like, Lord, I'll take care of this. I think I can fix this. Well, most of the time I can. So what I've learned to do is when I feel that stuff pile up in me, I go through this mental exercise where I take every concern I can think, and I put it in a box, and then I seal the box with duct tape, and I walk the box over to the elevator. And I put it in the elevator and I hit the button and I send it up and I go, it's yours. I'm not touching this stuff anymore. And it actually works for me because I have a sense of peace and I think the Lord is happy that I handed him my stuff, So I'm just trying, I guess what I'm trying to explain is this has not come easy for me over time. A lot of it has been a struggle, but I'm in the spot right now with the Lord that I am so convinced of his goodness. And I mean, I am so convinced that America is going to be restored. People are going to be restored. The kingdom is going to expand hugely. And I think, the challenges that lay ahead will actually be an opportunity for us to like walk in what we've been called to do. We're going to go from the on deck circle to the batter's box, and we're going to step to the plate, and it's going to be game on. And so if we're ready to, put the ball in play, we're going to start off in a better position. But if you're in the on deck circle and you go, oh, geez, I don't think I can ever hit that fastball. Well, then it's going to be a more of an uphill climb. But so I think the Lord really, really wants us to mentally be in the right spot, to open our heart up to his unfailing truth and to his continued blessing that he wants to give us over and over and over again. And like Holly said in the past, it's already designed. I think it's already in the UPS truck. We just have to pay attention to, the delivery and believe that it's on its way. So, that's essentially what I wanted to share. But I sense that it's very, very important to get comfortable with the Lord and the fact that he is so wanting to work through all of us and bless us so that his kingdom can be demonstrated, so that the Philistines of the world can go, oh my goodness, the Lord is favoring them. The Lord is favoring. And so I think we have an opportunity in the days ahead.
Amen. So it sounds to me like what's happened is you've spent some years transforming your thinking and your mindset to be a kingdom mindset, right? So you've transformed your thinking by the word of God, and because of that, you're walking in favor. It's, you're not walking in favor because you're such a great guy, although you are. But you're walking in favor because you transform the way you think and act to be how the kingdom was designed. And so the kingdom works for you. And the kingdom of heaven is always overriding what's going on earth. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there's a famine. It doesn't matter if there's a war. If you're walking in a kingdom mindset, you will be blessed. That what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And Holly,
Yeah.
it goes back to meeting in Rockford. And so like when I heard Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, and it went, and that actually went inside of me. Those verses went inside of me. From that point on, I knew every word in the word was correct and true. And it just changed my life. It just changed my life. And I didn't, and I was in that meeting and I was a little skeptical. I was a lot skeptical. Okay. And then all of a sudden, like Rennie got up and that word, it was almost like the Lord had me in that meeting and it was like a torpedo that went in. I almost like doubled over. And I remember saying to myself, of course that's how it works. And it was just, I can't explain it. It was really a God moment. And from that point on, I just read the word that it is absolutely true. And if it says it, this is going to happen, it take it to the bank, So that's what happened to me.
That's awesome.
Any other questions?
Got one, Jim. Could you give an example? Do you have an example going back to the redigging the wells, modern day. Do you have an example in your head? Not to pigeonhole it to any one thing, but what does modern day redigging of the wells look like? Do you have an example you can share?
That's a really good question, Sarah. So it's not a broad brush approach. I believe it relates to people more individually and what they've been called to do. And so like in Grand Junction, I kind of think about you and Aaron and Dusty like really redigging the wells there. And that could take a lot of different forms. It could involve the church, it could involve the government, it could involve, certain situations. But that's a glaring example from, just from the outside looking in, right? And I could say the same thing about everybody if I kind of knew more about like what you're going through and what your environment looks like. But I believe that sometimes there's a mistake that we make and we go, okay, it looks like this and I'm supposed to act like this and then it'll all happen. No, the Holy Spirit will lead you. You are already uniquely made for such a time as this. Have a certain combination. You're called into this day because what's been put inside of you and how you're gifted. And your undug well is way closer to you than you realize. And you really don't have to look great. But if everybody kind of gets that, then all of a sudden life's going to take on a whole different, you're going to have a whole different perspective. If you can walk around and you can say, honestly say, this is why I was created. This is why I'm walking on the face of the earth. You're pretty close to what the Lord wants to use you for. And that's not an impossible place to be. That's not, I think the mistake we make is we try to be like other people that have, arrived, okay? And the Lord never intended us to, copy people and giftings and like mimic things like, no. You're each individually crafted and talented and gifted. And the Lord wants to bring that out of you, and you are in where you are today because He needs you. He needs you to redig a well. So, and if I would start by just asking the Lord to reveal, something that's like, what's the task at hand? What do you want me to do, Lord? And a lot of that'll have to do will be, related to, there's certain things that come easy for all of us and certain things that are a struggle, right? So like writing comes like really easy for me. So if the Lord were asked me to like, write my thought, that'd be like really easy. If He asked me to like cook a meal, it was like, where's the pots and pans? I don't even know, like, right? Now Aaron, on the other hand, if she was asked to cook a meal for the Lord, oh my goodness, I want to be part of that, right? Because like that's part of her gifting. And so like I watched that whole thing just like bring total joy to you, Aaron. And
Thanks, Jim.
so. Be confident that the Lord has drawn you into this ministry for such a time as this. Th this is one of the best collections of people and one of the I hope I'm saying this right, that one of the best shepherded flocks I've ever run into. And you know, the Lord really wants you to come up way higher than you think you're capable of. And you know, I've learned, and Janet and I both learned that, you know, over 20 years, you understand some things that you didn't understand before. And it's never a destination. It's always a journey. And there's way more, and the Lord has way more for us than we can and then we envision for ourselves. And He wants to use us way more than we think we can be used. And I think, you know, one of the things that really comes through strongly in this community circle is that how much the Lord is for you and how He really wants you to come up higher so that you can actually experience the joy and fulfillment that He had really planned for you. And you know, I hope I'm not embarrassing Holly and Lori, but I see them as like unbelievably good shepherds and helping us all kind of like find a way. I mean, remember the good old days when you used to go to a theater and, you know, Netflix wasn't around. And, you know, once you got your ticket, you walked into a dark theater and there was like, you know, this little usher guy that had the like the little flashlight. And he would go, come on, follow me. And he'd walk you down 25 rows and then go, oh, there's two seats over there, right? And you couldn't like find your way in the room without the little usher guy and the little pen light. Well, that's kind of like what happens in this ministry. Come on, come on, you know, like follow me. There's a couple seats over here, you know? And I'm just, I mean, we love the community here. We love how it works. We love the fact that we are invited to come closer to the Lord, you know, all the time. And it's not about growing a ministry. It's about being closer to the Lord. And that's going to be so huge for the days ahead. But, you know, with that said, I really, really believe that the Lord is anxious to use everybody in this little community for His glory. And in the process, He's going to make you like super happy and He's going to confirm His covenant. And so I think we have a lot to look forward to. And the, you know, kind of like the darker and nastier it gets, it's okay, Lord, this is going to be interesting. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm really kind of anxious to see how you're going to do it. So, and that's what He's looking for. I think that's what He's looking for. So, well, I've kind of maybe dragged on a little longer than I thought, but if you guys don't have any more questions, I can close in prayer and get ready. Get ready. Because if you know what, if you volunteer and you go, Lord, I'm in, He's going to use you. He was going to use you anyway. He just wanted you to say, I'm in. So, and then what I think we should keep track of how the Lord uses you. And I think there's going to be testimonies. And I think we should keep track of some of these testimonies because they're going to be the goodness of the Lord coming through you, the way you've designed and what you've been called into, you know. So I think we should keep track of this and just like celebrate with it. So anyway, let me close in prayer and then we can wrap this up. So. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, I thank you for Holy Spirit. I thank you for your Son Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the revelation and the understanding. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful plan, the kingdom expansion plan that you have for the days ahead. I thank you, Lord, for redeeming this country. I thank you, Lord, for redeeming the church. And I thank you for the great harvest that is coming in. And Lord, I thank you that everybody on this call, everybody, will be used in a mighty way, and that you will reveal yourself to them in a unique way, never seen before. And Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we ask all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jim.
Amen.
That was awesome.
All right, guys. Well, buckle up and pay attention to the weather report, okay? Right. We'll see you. See you guys later.
Good
Thank
night.
you.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. See ya. All right. See ya.